Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
It's the Monday Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, where we look back at the weekend. Penn State with a big win. DJ Newbill hits one from, well, pretty much Colorado from the top of the key to win it on the road in Minnesota. I mean, he was just, I'd say maybe three steps, maybe four at most, beyond the half-court line. Bucknell falls and loses their shot at going to the big dance, but they will go to the NIT. Hopefully we'll have a chance to check in with Coach Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison as they get ready to go to the NIT tournament later on next week. So they'll have a week to get ready for that. Cliff Lee.
I was hoping we'd talk about auto racing.
I'm sorry.
There's some big news there going on right now. I think
really?
That is, yes.
All right, what's the big news?
There isn't any.
I didn't think so. See, if there were big news in auto racing, I would know.
I was just trying to draw the audience in because I know that's what drives the needle here.
I would know if there were big news in auto racing. I thought the big news, actually, Philadelphia's, but there's been a lot of news coming out of Philly this weekend, and none of it really positive right now. Philly's baseball fans learning that Cliff Lee.
Yeah, but he was hurt last year.
This may be a career for him.
So what?
There's not many guys on this team to get excited about.
They're not good.
Exactly. That's my point. It's hard to get excited about this team. And that's just more bad news.
He only made 13 appearances last year. You're banking on 30?
I was hoping for 20. But maybe right now one would be a positive thing. And the Eagles making some moves again this weekend.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, signing Byron Maxwell is a good move. Signing Frank Gore in combination with Darren Sproles, they're fine. All right? That fits more about what he wants to do. Losing Jeremy Maclin, not great. But they might sign Jason Worlds, too. But they signed Byron Maxwell. That's a big signing for them at corner.
Well, that's why I said not all the news was good, but not all the news was bad either.
And then your team, oh, please, I hope he retires.
Well,
Arthur Motes is re-signing. Arthur Motes was a good sign. Was good for the Steelers. I mean, I think that's a solid move. Running back wise, they're going to have to come up with somebody, but there's so many out there. Now, let me throw out a name that would be interesting: Pierre Thomas. What?
No, I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying, eh.
Eh, what? You only want the guy for two games and then to be a backup. You have to have somebody, Kevin, that understands what the role is going to be and accepts it. And one of the key parts of this. You got to have somebody who's a fit. Is Reggie Bush going to accept that role?
Well, nobody else offers him a paycheck. I would hope he would.
Here's another one. Darren McFadden.
He was a Steeler once already, I thought.
No, he was drafted by the Raiders. He's played his whole career with the Raiders.
I thought the Steelers had him in camp at one point.
You don't even know your own.
Listen, there's a lot of guys that are in camp for a few days and then left.
He was a first-round draft pick.
You know what? Forget it. I know what I'm thinking about. You're going to laugh, so I'm not even going to say it.
Oh, go ahead. No, we'd all be entertained.
Please, I had him on my fantasy team. That's what I was thinking about, and I had forgot. I was thinking he was on the Steelers roster. He was on my roster for a while. That's how I was aware.
It's you know what I think? I think you're spending too much time with Vinny Clossi and not enough time thinking about this show.
Pierre Thomas, 222 yards.
Woo! Yeah, but I'm talking about you want him to start for two games. He's reliable. And at the same time, you want somebody who's going to be who's going to fit a role for you that doesn't expect to be the number one guy. Like, take, for example, LeGarrette Blount. He's not the right fit. Why? Because he thought he was going to be getting 15 carries a game. Well, they released him. I mean, the guy walked out and the whole deal, but, you know, it wasn't exactly as if there was weeping in the Steeler locker room when he left. So it's got to be somebody that fits. I mean, you know, at minimum, you're going to probably need him for two games. Then as somebody, if he gets hurt, then somebody can step in and do whatever. But I mean, for one thing, if you're talking about pure durability, Pierre Thomas's durability, Reggie Bush does not. Reggie Bush is not a 25-touch-a-game guy.
No, I'd agree with that. You're right about it. I concede that to you, sure.
Now, Darren McFadden is. Darren McFadden actually has some durability to him. But he's been languishing out in Oakland, and except for being on somebody's fantasy team.
Languishing on my fantasy team, too.
Oh.
Brandon Gowden from Bleeding Green Nation tweeting out earlier today that there's some discussion that the Eagles are trying to work a deal for Colin Kaepernick, although the 49ers GM says the team is not going to trade him.
Yeah, I heard about that, but I still say that the play is Marcus Mariota. The question is whether they can put something together to get it done.
Well, is this maybe a backup plan? You know, is this one of those things that let's see how much Kaepernick would cost us as opposed to trading with, say, the Titans? Because do you think the Eagles could trade as low as 5 or 7 and be able to get Mariota?
No.
I don't think so.
No, because here's the risk. Say you trade up to 5. What keeps somebody from trading up to 2? That wants them. I mean, that's the part there that's tough. Because now, you know, you make your play, you've made your trade, and you're sitting there in the 5 spot, and somebody trumps you and goes, see, that was the problem with the Redskins. The Redskins were sitting at, what, 6? And they were so enamored with the idea of getting RG3, because Luck was going to be the first pick, and everybody knew it. That they overpaid, but they jumped to 2, because they felt at 6 they weren't going to get him. Now, the Rams were not going to pick him at 2. But the problem is, was somebody else going to trade to 2 to get him? Was somebody else going to trade to 3 or 4 and jump in front of them to get him? So, you know, the further, for example, if you go no lower than 2, you're going to get either Mariota or Winston. Because only one of them can possibly be off the board. Right? So that's why you got to go up there.
Well, if the 49ers are making a move to get rid of Kaepernick, which, again, they have denied flatly, then, and I think they use the term ridiculous. But
you got to take that contract. I mean, that's the other issue. Who wants that?
That's what I was going to say. They're going to take a cap hit about $10 million, plus they have, a 6-year, $114 million that it comes into effect as of June. So and here's the other problem. The 49ers don't really have a quarterback on the roster. Their other two quarterbacks, I think, are both free agents.
Oh, they can find one of those easily. All right. Let's get to the NCAA basketball tournament here for a moment. Let's get to right now who would probably be in and who needs to do work here this week. Let's start with the American Conference. A lot of people are wondering about Temple. Temple is an RPI of 34. They're 22-9. Here's Temple's issue. The two locks right now from the American would be SMU and Cincinnati. They'd be the two teams that are in. Tulsa needs work to do, and Temple does. Temple's problem is that they're 22-9, but they're 14-0 against teams that are over 200. They're 8-9 in teams from 1 to 199. That's an issue. That's why Temple has to do something here. Atlantic 10, VCU and Dayton are both in. Davidson is really good. I think Davidson's in good shape. Davidson should get in. And Davidson's really good. Bob McKillop said he's done a great job there. And they get into the Atlantic 10, they've done well. The team that needs to do a lot of that, needs to have some things fall off them, is Richmond. Let's get to the ACC now. Let's see. Virginia, no doubt in. North Carolina, no doubt in. Duke, no doubt in. Duke and Virginia right now would be one seeds. Louisville, Notre Dame, NC State, they're all in. Miami of Florida, though, that's the team that would have to get to the ACC tournament final to make it. Big 12, there's no doubt Kansas is in. They're probably right now in the two line. Baylor, Iowa State, Oklahoma, West Virginia. I think Texas is at the moment on the outside looking in. Big East. I watched yesterday the Big Ten Basketball and Beyond. My old friend Mike DeCourcy, known Mike for 25, 30 years. Jim Jackson, whom I've worked with, done games with before. And they were talking about who could be Kentucky. And they're going on about, you know, what Virginia does with its straight line defense, what Wisconsin does, and also about what Arizona does. Well, the one team they didn't mention is the team I think that actually, with the right set of circumstances, could be Kentucky. That's Villanova. Villanova has five guys on that team that have hit 43s or better this season. If Villanova were to hit 15 threes, they could be Kentucky. And they average 9 hits a game. So 15 would not be out of the realm a possibility. Villanova, St. John's, Butler, Georgetown, they're all in from the Big East. I think Xavier has some work to do. In the Big Ten, who's in? Right now, Wisconsin would be on the two line. They would be two, and here's Wisconsin's problem. Because of pod seeding and regionalism and regionalization, they probably, no matter what they do, the only way they can avoid Kentucky is to be a one seed. If Wisconsin is on the two line, regardless of whether they're 5, 6, 7, or 8, they will be in the same bracket with Kentucky. Maryland's in, Michigan State's in, Iowa's in, Ohio State's in. I think Purdue's in. I think the teams in trouble are Indiana and Illinois. Mountain West, San Diego State's in no matter what. Colorado State and Boise State, they got some stuff that they got to do. Pac-12, how many teams do you think from the Pac-12 are going to make it, Kev?
I would say Arizona. Yep. And probably Utah.
And Utah. Well, Utah's a lock.
Yeah, and I was sitting
Utah's
there,
a lock.
I was sitting there debating about Oregon.
And Oregon, UCLA, and Stanford are the three they got to do some work to. I think Oregon's the team that makes it out of that group. The UCLA and Stanford, there's too many teams that say they have their quality win against Stanford. That's not good. In the SEC, for some odd reason, Kentucky appears to be a lock.
Huh, I'm shocked.
And then Georgia and Arkansas are no doubt in. I think Ole Miss is in, too. Now the question is, what do LSU and Texas A&M do? There aren't a lot of at-large contenders after that. that are from smaller conferences. BYU, Old Dominion, all right, and Wichita State. All right, remember, Northern Iowa won the Missouri Valley, so they saved somebody a bid.
I was going to say, they saved an at-large bid for somebody.
Yeah, because if Illinois State wins, then... You know. But I'll tell you the team that's in trouble is Murray State. Murray State's in trouble, and they won 27 games this year. That's a big one.
Why do you think they're in trouble? Like, should they be in trouble? I guess would be my question. I mean, why do you think they're in trouble?
Because they, even though they're 27-5, they just don't have that win somewhere that's so. They don't have a Gonzaga kind of win. The Gonzaga plays everybody now in conference.
High profile style win.
Yeah, they don't have that win. And that's a problem. They're 27-5, but it's a 27-5 that.
Wow, 27-5 and not go. That stings.
Well, they'll go to the NIT. I mean,
well, yeah, but
bottom line, they should have, you know, taken care of business in their own tournament. So,
also true.
All right, so that's an issue. All right, I know we need to take a break. Which we will. Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, coming up
tomorrow.
Yes, we're going to talk about your team and what they need to do.
Punt.
Despite the fact... Punt? Oh, it's just...
I'm kidding.
You give up so easily. It's entertaining. We'll come up with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget March Madness! At Sunbury Motors Kia, there's nothing to be mad about. Because in the month of March, every pre-owned vehicle we have is on sale. It's March Happiness Month. Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. With hundreds of vehicles to choose from, starting at just $39.88, Sunbury Motors Kia has what you want. And if not, we'll get it for you. Package that with the best interest rates available, and you'll be happy. So whether it's a car, truck, van, or SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors Kia is your one-stop shop. And you get the advantage of SMC's lowest price promise and Auto Club, where we pay you for the miles you drive. It's better than free. We pay you. So check us out at sunburymotors.com 24/7 or stop in for the March Happiness Sale at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf, where we've been selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Newbell down to six.
Gotta go.
With four. Newbell for three to win the game. It's good, and Penn State wins the game.
Make it 31.
79-76, and after all the close games, the Nittany Lions are the ones at the wire that pull it out and win the game.
Gotta go.
It was a good call. I thought I'd sneak it in there.
Okay, well. I didn't expect that, but that's fine.
Sometimes I like to leave it as a surprise.
Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com tomorrow. Ron Pavlechko tomorrow as well on the National Football Foundation banquet coming up on the 22nd. Looking forward to that. Last year, Franklin Quiate was honored at that for being the Harlan Hill Award winner. I know Joe Susan goes to that every year. Bottom of the hour, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. News next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So what are y'all driving this week?
I have a 2015 Kia Forte. EX is what we're showing off this week. Three body styles available in the Forte. That includes the sedan, the hatchback, and the coupe. The 2014 Forte sedan was winner of Cars.com, USA Today, and Motor Week's Compact Sedan Challenge, and it also has a five-star crash safety rating from the NHTSB, from the National Transportation Safety. You know, those guys. The NHTSA. Try and say that three times fast. It's also available.
I don't have to. I don't have the car.
It's also available in a turbo engine and averaging 30 miles to the gallon when you factor in highway and city mileage as well. So if you want to see more about it, visit my Facebook page or at Kevin Herr on Twitter, and you can see a picture of the vehicle and get the details from Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk more about the added features on that vehicle throughout the week.
Don't tell me this has heated seats, too.
Air-conditioned, actually, and heated.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does it bother you, or does it bother the audience that we constantly talk about whether or not your seat is heated?
Would it make you feel more comfortable if I said the vehicle seat? Should I throw in the word vehicle?
I think it would make a lot of people feel more comfortable because it just sounds so.
All right. From here to forth, I shall call it vehicle heated seat.
I give you 48 hours, you'll foul it up.
You're kinder than I thought.
48 hours.
It's not bad. That's pretty good.
I give you one day to kind of sit there and go, hey, the vehicle seats are heated. And then, you know, then 48 hours on, hey, my seat's heated, man.
You know, this one also has rear heated.
Feel the burn.
This also has back seats that are heated as well.
Fabulous.
Was that better? Is that more along the line of what you wanted?
Because that really is about the area that, you know, Bob Buehner and I would be in the back seat, you know, just as you drove.
No, there's no way you guys would ride along with me. What are you talking about?
Actually, you're actually correct about that.
Well, all right. My mom didn't raise a fool.
Now, how about Stephen A. Smith? Did you see this?
I have not. What did he do now?
On First Take on ESPN today, he implied that Chip Kelly has made moves. I'll read the exact quote. Chip Kelly makes decisions over the last couple of years, dare I say, leave a few brothers feeling uncomfortable, Smith said. I think that's fair to say. I mean, we're sitting here looking at some of the decisions that Chip Kelly makes, and I'm like, what is up? What's up with that? I mean, it's like you've got to be his kind of guy, you know? And I'm like, well, Riley Cooper, your kind of guy? You're mentioning Cooper. Stephen A. Smith was implying that Kelly is okay with the fact that Cooper is Caucasian. Say, let's go beyond the system. The operative word is culture. The culture is what resonates with me more profoundly because I'm looking at a Chip Kelly and I'm like, really? Now, you got to remember where I've been for 16 years. I'm from Philadelphia. He says, I'm saying it just doesn't strike me a bit odd. LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, but he keeps Riley Cooper. Really? Okay, so here's the problem. They also signed Frank Gore. They're going to. They've agreed to a contract with Frank Gore. They've agreed to a contract with Byron Maxwell, which is a big get in my opinion. Okay? Kiki Alonso is Latino. Mark Sanchez is Mexican-American. And he's trying to acquire, we all think, Marcus Mariota, who is of Samoan heritage. Like, what the? How do you get away with saying something like this? LeSean McCoy was dealt. I understand that. Okay? Huge, productive player. Correct? DeSean Jackson's been a huge, productive player. Correct? No doubt. And Maclin, I think Macklin's a really good receiver. All right? But they're replacing McCoy with Frank Gore. Not Toby Gearhart. Hey, they need a corner. They got Byron Maxwell. Hey, they didn't get Jason Sehorn. Yeah. Everyone's entitled to an opinion, but
things that make you go,
Oh, things that make you sit back and go, what?
That too.
It would be completely different if he didn't make the moves that he's been making. But they aren't the only guys he's released. Right? Yeah, right now Riley Cooper's on the roster. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Riley Cooper is. But James Casey and Tom Harriman are also released. Correct? Right?
He released
James Casey and Todd Harriman, right? I mean, look, he's just looking for football players, right, that fit what he wants to do. And no offense, I mean, if you've taken a tour of the Eagles complex, you know what's missing? Vince Lombardi trophies.
I was going to say, a big trophy that you get usually one team at the end of the season.
So, I mean, what the heck? Ride it. See what happens. Oh, well. I found that to be quite strange.
I found that whole show to be quite strange.
I won't watch it. I won't watch it. It just... You know how I feel about pregame shows or those shows to begin with. I'm, you know me. Hey, let's get to the game. When's the game on?
Pregame show? What's a pregame show?
I mean, I do them for a living, and obviously I sit here and I do this show. You know, but you and I sit here and for 10 hours a week have one heck of a good time, right?
Well, most of the time, yeah.
Stop your complaining. Stop whining there.
Most
Come
of the
on.
Time, sure.
You could have done worse in life. Come on. I don't get that. Big Ten Wrestling Championships did not turn out well at all for Penn State. Morgan McIntosh won at 197. Brown lost the final. They only got five other guys through. They only got seven through.
Was that unexpected, though? I mean, in all honesty, this is not the Penn State wrestling team of the last several years.
Well, no, and they don't have, for example, they don't have Taylor or Ruth as examples. Now, let's face it, I think going into this year, I think they felt like the Altons would do something. And they weren't a part of the mix. Now, Zane Rutherford, you know, took a red shirt, and yeah, I understand that. But Rutherford gets through at 141, and he's a national championship contender. There's no doubt about that. But it doesn't win them the championship, though. And Zane Rutherford at this stage of his career, let's be honest, Zane Rutherford is not a bonus point guy. He wasn't last year, right? I mean, Rutherford was a guy that had a lot of 4.2s, 5.2s, things like that. He was not a major Tech fall guy. Now, that was as a freshman. That may change next year as a redshirt sophomore.
You would hope.
A little more strength, a little more power, a little more whatever.
Well, and then give him another year after that yet. I mean, his junior and senior years as a redshirt, I think, would be the opportunity for him to pick up those bonus points.
Right. And that, I mean, and that's the difference maker as to how you win a national championship. It's not only how many guys you can go that can pick up wins here, 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 and here, but it's then the difference makers become the ones that are like, hey, great, there's a fall, bonus points. There's a Tech fall, bonus points. There's a major, some bonus points. You know, I mean, that makes a big difference. Penn State doesn't have those guys. I mean, Matt Brown's not a bonus point guy.
Is this an example?
McIntosh can be.
Is this an example of every once in a while you do have to reload?
Well, I think, you know, by redshirting Rutherford and Nico Megalutis, that was an indication by the coaching staff that they're looking at 15-16 is the year to really make a big push. And it doesn't mean he doesn't have any less confidence in the people he already has there. But even he admits, I believe he used the expression getting your backside kicked or something like that as a wake-up call. And I mean, going to St. Louis, where the field's going to be even deeper. You know, and you get in certain situations where you're recruiting and so forth. You know, like take a kid like Mitchell Port that we've talked about from Edinburgh, right? We've talked about him before. You disparagingly, me, of course, glowingly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, you talked about the competition he wrestles. I mean, it's like, oh, you weren't exactly a... All right, because Port was in the same weight class as Rutherford, right?
Yes, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you're taking the local kid and you're just boom, 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 you know, downing an achiever, but
yeah,
that's okay.
I was, yep.
Well, you were. A kid like Port wanted to come to Penn State. But I believe Edinburgh gave him a full to go there, and he's made it paid off. I mean, he's had a really nice career, and that's about the same time I think the Altons were coming in, right? Well, you know, so you go with the Altons, and the Altons have been, you know, a mixed bag. Obviously, Rutherford's everything you could possibly ask for. He's been tremendous, but I mean, those are the tough decisions you have to make along the way. Now, they have a lot of depth in this program. I mean, the wrestling room, they've got some bouts going on in the wrestling room. And you've got a lot of, you know, guys that have Olympic aspirations that aren't even with Penn State that come into that wrestling room. I mean, Cale's connections run so deep, it's amazing. So, this year is an aberration. Doesn't mean next year is an automatic. I felt with Ruth and Taylor, the last 3 years were automatics. How about that? I really felt, I mean, if they had lost any of those years, I looked around and went, what?
Still, I still think of Ed Ruth. I still think of locking up a standing cradle. I think it was Ruth that hit that standing cradle the one time, either in the Big Ten tournament or in a match at the end of the year. And I just sat there and went, wow. I mean, you just don't see that.
Right. Now, maybe they could put together a better national tournament. I mean, they're not going to win it. But finishing fifth in the Big Ten, I think a lot of people didn't think they would finish fifth. I think a lot of people thought they'd finish third. And that didn't happen. In fact, they barely got to fifth. So, this is the aberration. I don't think, especially when Megalutis and Rutherford redshirted, I don't think a lot of people thought when that happened, okay, this won't be the year. Next year will be the year. So we'll see how it plays out. Now the Big Ten basketball tournament gets rolling. Penn State gets Nebraska. 4:30 on Wednesday. 4 o'clock will be the airtime following the opening hour of this show and the Kevin Herr Clambake.
Bring your own clams.
See, again.
Can't foot the bill for everything, man.
If it's your clam, you make
promises.
You should.
Yeah, but you make promises.
I make promises that your ego can't keep.
My wallet can't cash.
Yeah, I make promises that your ego can't cash, man. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin asked me what time we're leaving, so I told him. He says, tomorrow? I said, well, it's not today.
Well, I didn't know whether maybe you were still on, you know, Central Time and Central Standard Time. You know, could have been.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it's not going to be Wednesday, because it would be a little late to leave at that point.
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. Yeah, the game's 3 o'clock or 3:30 out there. So tomorrow's show we'll have on Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and we'll also have on Ron Pavlichko from the National Football Foundation. They get Nebraska. Penn State started Nebraska's losing streak. Obviously, they need to keep it going. This is a team that...
I just like the way that sounded. It was funny. They started their losing streak. Obviously, they'll have to keep it going.
Yeah. They have not shot the ball well. They have two outstanding scorers. Siobhan Shields had 26 against Maryland last night. That's Will Shields' son, by the way, who's going into the Hall of Fame with your guy Bettis. So when you go to Canton, you'll see Siobhan Shields' dad there. In fact, Siobhan Shields will be there. You can
I'll say hi.
You can bond.
We'll hang out.
You can bond.
That'll be awesome.
By the way, Siobhan Shields is a COSIDA academic All-American selection. Excellent in the classroom. So maybe Daniel and he can bond.
Well, yeah, there's every new day, there's fresh hope.
Wow, I'm out there praising the kid. No wonder the kid's struggling. All right.
track season.
I can't be around him to encourage him all the time. Come on. and Teran Pettaway. But Pettaway is a volume guy. They take DJ Newbill. Newbill had 31 yesterday. He did it on 31 shots. Or excuse me, on 22 shots. Now, that's 1.45 points a shot. If you average 1.5 points a shot, that's a gold standard. That's a gold standard. For the season, Newbill averaged 1.35 points per shot. For the season, that's a really good number. Really good number. Very impressive number. And that's a goal. I'm not a big, hey, X had 27 points on 27 shots. I did a game once, Penn State and Wisconsin, Michael Finley. And Finley played, what, a dozen years in the NBA, Kev? Something like that.
I'll take your word for it.
Finley,
I wouldn't know that.
Finley was a really good player. He played a lot with the Mavericks, the Suns, right? But he played a game against Penn State where he had 27 points on 27 shots. And I was like, God, he did not play well. Yeah, he ended up scoring 27, but it took too much to do it. So when we talk about points per possession and defensive points per possession, it's so important. Hey, don't forget Patrick Chambers tonight on the Penn State Basketball Show. Special Monday edition.
That will be the final, the season finale, as it were.
The season finale until we come back in August.
Yeah, but that's a new season.
Yes, it is. So, we'll be on hiatus.
There you go. Call it your spring season finale. That's the latest.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's the latest thing now with television shows.
Is it?
Yeah. You have the spring finale, the winter finale. this will be your spring finale.
Well, that music tells you that this was the hour finale.
Could be my finale, too, if I keep this up. What day is today, by the way?
Drew is coming into town next week to talk.
Super.
He asked if I had any ideas. I said, I have one.
Well, it's been fun hanging out with you the last 3 years.
Can't really tell you what we're doing the rest of the week on the show because we don't know what the schedule is. If Penn State wins, then the game is in the place of the show. If they win again, the game's in place of the show.